Good morning. This is the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. They are the founders of the ASAP Science YouTube channel and now authors of the book, ASAP Science, Answers to the World's Weirdest Questions, Most Persistent Rumors, and Unexplained Phenomena. Mitchell Moffitt and Greg Brown, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, it's great.
I want to ask where your fascination with science began, or where ASAP Science began. What was that one kernel, that one conversation that kicked off ASAP Science?
Well, for me, this is Greg speaking. My love for science came from a really amazing science teacher, which led me to want to become a science teacher. So after university, Mitch and I, we both graduated with degrees in biological science, and we were kind of trying to figure out what we were going to do. And I went on to teachers college, where I learned a lot about how young people these days are learning and getting most of their information from online as opposed to school and seeking out something like science on their own time. So we thought, and Mitch learned a lot about YouTube, and we were thinking, how could we maybe use our skill set and our passion for science and our ability to sort of talk to our friends and family about the complex things that we've learned in layman's terms? And so we decided, essentially, as a pet project to start ASAP Science, to make one video a week for a year just to see what happens, and also as a tool for us to stay involved with science. And then the video started to go viral, the audience started to grow really quickly, and we realized that this needed to become both of our full-time jobs and become the entity that it lives as now. Yeah.
Oh, 3.6 million subscribers for the YouTube. Mitch, you must know you must have learned a lot about YouTube to gather that many viewers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at first, I don't know that we ever understood how big it could become, but we, you know, at the beginning stages understood that, you know, people were building these kinds of shows online, that people were coming back either week after week or day after day to come and watch content, and not just videos that, you know, were funny cat videos, but we realized people are going online, yeah, to seek out educational videos. And in our case, science videos. And so it was just great to see that, you know, people of all ages, our videos have been viewed in every single country that has YouTube at least once. And so that's an amazing feeling, regardless of the English barrier. And people of all ages, we have a huge demographic going as low as, like, you know, 4 and 5 to people up into their hundreds. So it's amazing to know that, you know, everyone, if you can pique their curiosity, then they're interested.
So what was that very first video on ASAP Science? What was that very first persistent question or rumor or weird phenomena that you covered?
We made a video called Can You See or Hear the Big Bang? So that was a really interesting question for us. But the first video that kind of went viral was the scientific hangover cure, which makes sense. It's something that a lot of people wanted to know the answer to. And then shortly after that, we made a video called The Scientific Power of Naps that also went very viral. And that's when we realized that sleep and alcohol and coffee and these things that a lot of people partake in, that those are the types of things that people want to know about. And so that was something, a bit of a light bulb moment for us to think, okay, what kind of ideas and questions should we explain science behind that people are going to want to know the answers to?
Your book, ASAP Science, has the drawings and explanations involved, not the voiceovers, but I know on the YouTube channel that I've seen that you have the drawings and the voiceovers. Who's the talent on either side of those coins?
So Greg does most of the drawings. He has a background and a minor in studio art. And then I myself do the voiceovers and do most of the editing. And so together our skills kind of complement one another in this way to kind of create that final product.
And put it together, I noticed in the acknowledgments at the back of the book that you I can't remember her name. You thank someone for making sure that the book did not have a bunch of stick drawings.
Exactly. So it's for the book, yeah, we have a third member of our team now. Her name's Jess Carroll, and she helps us with all of our social media. We have, like, an amazing Facebook page that keeps up with science news and science jokes and pictures and stuff. And she also happens to be an amazing artist. So the three of us, mostly Greg and Jess, drew for that.
I'm speaking with Mitchell Moffitt and Greg Brown, the founders of ASAP Science, the YouTube channel, and the book ASAP Science, Answers to the World's Weirdest Questions, Most Persistent Rumors, and Unexplained Phenomenon. You can learn more about it at WVXU.org. And obviously, the persistent questions and rumors and weird phenomena must have been at the core of ASAP Science, because in the book, that's what takes up the most space. Were these the questions that you did find to rank among the most popular when people really needed an answer to questions like, does being cold make you sick? Is the 5-second rule legitimate, and can sneezing pop your eyeballs out?
Yeah, so the book is comprised of some of our favorite and most popular videos from online, and then more than 50% of it is actually new content, questions that people asked us on the YouTube channel or on Twitter, and questions that we found fascinating that we thought would work really well in the book with the static images and the way that we plan to design it. So there's a lot of stuff in the book that is not on our YouTube channel, along with the, yeah, as you said, some of the best questions and the best videos that we felt we'd made on the actual channel.
In general, people love when you can say, hey, you thought this one thing, it's the complete opposite. And so when it comes to rumors or a different phenomenon that people wonder about, that's what's really interesting to people. When they have sort of their reality crash, and then they will go, wow, oh my gosh, that's the answer, and here's exactly why that's so fascinating.
So what kind of research do you have to put in to answer these questions? You say you're a biological scientist. Some of these wander outside that realm. I mean, the Big Bang question right there. But, you know, how do you research the science behind what you're exploring?
So the research is probably the part that takes the longest, and it's the most intense part of the process. And so what we do is we use online journals, we use scientific meta-analysis, we go online and also use libraries and different sources of really intense scientific material, and we read those articles and we read the specific scientific language. That's what our degrees help us with, is to actually dissect these really complex papers and realize what information someone would need to know if they were a layman, and take that information and those words and that language and transfer it into the videos and chapters that we create, using language and vocabulary and the most interesting talking points, so that we can sort of become the gateway drug to science and be a way in for people who maybe don't have the ability or were fortunate enough to fall in love with science in the same way that we did. So essentially, the research, the reading books, and that part of it is the hardest part, and it's the part that takes the longest, and then it leads to these short, very concise chapters and episodes, yeah.
So who's the audience you're aiming at this, beyond those just trying to learn about science or, as you said, seeking that gateway drug to science through the answers to the questions here at ASAP Science? I mean, what you said you're a teacher. What kind of students were you aiming at in the beginning?
The honest truth is that for us, we want everyone of every age to be interested. I think we went to YouTube knowing that we wanted to engage a young audience, because that's where people sort of get inspired, and that's how you get them engaged to want to join the science fields when they're older and just be, you know, enjoying that. But for us, we realized that people of all ages are interested, and it's important to us to ask, you know, a diverse background of questions, whether it be about something, you know, a 6-year-old can relate to or something a 90-year-old can relate to. For us, it's important, or whether it's different genders or different races. It's important for us to find that, you know, we love that science enthusiasts love our channel, but we love even more that we can capture the imagination of somebody who thought they hated science, and yet suddenly they're watching a video that they're really engaged with, and they're thinking, well, this is super interesting, and it doesn't feel like science. And so in that sense, you know, our goal is to reach a demographic of everybody. And maybe not every chapter will apply to everyone, but hopefully over the course of the books we make and the videos we make, we can kind of hit off everyone who might find something in their life interesting that can be answered by science.
So I will keep the scientific hangover cure and the scientific power of naps for readers to enjoy in the book ASAP Science. But I do want to ask about a couple of the questions. Let's begin with, does shaving make your hair grow thicker? What did ASAP Science come up with that?
Yeah, so that's an interesting one, and something that you hear a lot. And in fact, it doesn't make your hair grow thicker. It's just that you're actually cutting the hair at its thickest point, along with the fact that it's now being exposed next to skin that seems to appear thicker solely because it's just the thickest part of the hair that is going to be growing in next. So it is a complete myth, but it's all about the way that people perceive it as thicker, just because of the way that it looks to their bare eyes. And that's sort of where the myth came from.
Okay, here's another one from dreaming, waking, napping, sleeping. What if you stopped sleeping?
So if you stop sleeping, there are a lot of things that will happen to your body, obviously. And in the chapter, we kind of explore the various hourly differences. So, you know, after 24 hours, what happens to your body and brain after a few days? Luckily, the man who holds the record for the longest time without sleep, didn't have any serious long-term brain damage, but of course, in the process of going from, you know, sleeping to days and days of no sleep, his brain did slowly shut down and start to turn off those processes.
Okay.
But it's a fascinating subject to look at.
And very interesting when you look at it from the ASAP science point of view, too. And I think that was 264 hours or 11 days is how long that particular subject stayed.
That is correct.
Well,
yeah, and that's incredible.
Not enough coffee in the world to help me do that. Well, out of all the questions that you answer at ASAP Science, which has been the one that has been the most fun for you that we may talk about? I mean, there are some questions that you answer, the science behind in ASAP Science, the answers to the world's weirdest questions, most persistent rumors and unexplained phenomena that we can't talk about on the air that are worth reading. But among the ones that you can talk about on public radio, what's your favorite? And I don't know whether it's the same for both you, Mitch, and Greg, or if you have one that you enjoyed collaborating on.
I love the one that's actually in the book as well, called The Science of Heartbreak. And so it talks about how when you go through a trauma such as breaking up with someone or losing a family member, it creates similar reactions in your brain as actual physical pain. So it's a very real pain to go through that. And actually, a lot of people feel the need to alienate themselves or maybe spend time alone. But in fact, science says that in order to feel better physiologically and mentally, you need to be around people, around friends and family. Due to our evolution and the fact that we're pack animals, it actually will physiologically make you feel better if you spend time with loved ones. So it's an interesting positive message that also is linked with science, and that doesn't happen so often. So it's a really one that stands out in the book and on our channel.
Fascinating science and ASAP Science, and I was already a science lover, but yeah, you guys do a great job at helping me love it even more. Mitchell Moffitt and Greg Brown, founders of the ASAP Science YouTube channel and authors of ASAP Science, Answers to the World's Weirdest Questions, Most Persistent Rumors, and Unexplained Phenomena. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. Mitch, Greg, thanks for being on the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you so much for having us. Bye.
If you're a book lover, I'm hoping you'll share your passion with us. The Book Club at 91.7 is easy to find on the WVXU website, on the WVXU Facebook page, and by email at book@wvxu.org. I keep posing questions, hoping you'll share your answers with us. Here are some friends of the Book Club at 91.7 with their answers.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Spriggs. I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio, but I live in Brooklyn, New York now. Bossy Pants by Tina Fey. I gave that to my friend Kelsey because she has a really big personality, and we really like reading like female comedian writings. Like the next one, of course, is going to be Amy Poehler. Like, what is that called? Yes, Please? Amy Poehler, Yes, Please.
Hi, I'm Gara from Mount Washington. The last book I gave as a gift is This is a Book Without Pictures. So it's a children's book where there are no pictures in the book, which you would think would be really boring. However, the author points out that when you're reading a book, the reader has to read whatever's on the page, and then it just kind of descends into a bunch of ridiculousness. So I got that for my nephews. Don't tell them.
This is Ken from Milford. I actually gave Ishmael by Daniel Quinn to my fiance about 4 years ago. She still hasn't read it, so I haven't given her another book yet.
My name's Gemma. I'm from a suburb of Columbus. I just gave my brother the book Stories from the Grove because last time I was in Cincinnati visiting my brother, he was telling me about the springtime. There's huge flower displays over there. When I heard about the book on your show, then I thought he might enjoy that.
You're listening to the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU. Stick around. There's more on the shelf.